This morning we want to share with you from the Gospel of St. John, the triumphal entry as John records it. In all of the Gospels, each one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it records Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And as we talk about Christ entering into Jerusalem, we need to be thinking about recognizing him as our King. What does he mean to us? As you know, the crowd that greeted him on Palm Sunday, some of those same folks were in the crowd that said, "Away with him," a couple of days later. So we want to recognize that. John chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your King comes sitting on a donkey's colt." In verse 16, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. We want to share with you this morning, looking to the King, looking to the King. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is again that we are blessed to be here today. We thank you so much for your grace and your power. We thank you for your love that you've given us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for watching over us in the past week. And Lord, even this morning, you woke us up and gave us such amazing love and wonderful grace. And despite all of the things that we face in life, God, we are grateful. We are thankful. And so we've come with hearts overflowing with love for you. We want to express our praise to you because there's no one else that deserves it, and there's no one else that we should give it to. And if we do that, we'd be idolatrous. We'd be worshiping false things. But God, we come to give our praise and our honor and to dedicate ourselves unto you. You are the King of our life, and we crown you Lord of all. Thank you for this day. Bless us now in our time together. May we not only hear your word, but may we do your word. May we give you praise and glory for all of these things in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. So what do you do if you know that a king is coming? How do you prepare yourself? What are some of the things that need to happen in your life? Today we are observing Palm Sunday, and a little bit later on, our Sunday school is going to present a pageant or a play that they'll be reflecting on the events of Jesus' life as it was recorded in the scripture. But I want us to do something. I want us to notice that we're not saying that you should only look at, that is to observe, but what we're asking you to do when we're saying looking to the King, we want you to appreciate who he is, to affirm who he is, and to know what he is doing and how he is active in our lives. He's not the king of the past, and he's not the king of the future. He's the king of the right now. From the beginning to the end, he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. The disciples, notice it says in this passage, they did not understand all that was happening. They didn't understand the events. Much like you and I, when we face events in life, we don't understand everything, but then afterward, we reflected on it. Then we understand that these things were done, and that's why they were done. Scripture had to be fulfilled. So what I want you to do is to look at this with appreciation and to observe what Christ has done and observe who he is and how that he is indeed Lord of Lords. Palm Sunday is a celebration. But it's not just some day in history. As the verse tells us, this was the fulfillment of what Zechariah the prophet had spoken in the Old Testament hundreds of years earlier. He said, "Now here is your king, O daughter of Zion." Here is the one that comes. He is your king. Behold your king who comes to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey and upon the colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, I can tell you when they said that word, Hosanna, it upset some people. It upset some people because what he was really saying is, save us. Save us, we pray. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And when the religious leaders heard that, they said, wait a minute, we've got this arrangement with Rome. And you want a king to save you? Don't you realize that this could upset the order? That this could change things and we would have our land destroyed and it would be taken away from us? At one point they said to Jesus, make your disciples be quiet. We don't want them to say this. And then, of course, you recognize that Jesus replied, well, if they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. I'm wondering over the history of time how many rocks have taken the place of believers who ought to be recognizing, who ought to be giving God thanks. I know that everything is not the way you want it. But as long as things go according to God's divine order, it's all right. I wish you would look at somebody and tell them it's all right. It's not in my hands, it's not in your hands to determine how things are going to go and the way in which they go, but God has everything under control because he's the king. This was no ordinary king, even though he was flesh and blood, just like you and I, but he was also divine. So as we look to this king, we're not looking to someone who is of the ordinary. Right. He comes from glory. And he's preparing to go back to his father. But before he goes back to his father, he wants to straighten everything out that it might be fulfilled. Amen. That includes you and I. What needs to be fulfilled in our lives? The purpose. And the plan of God. You're not here by accident. You're not just here to hang out. And then finally to make your exit and have people to speak a few words over you. You are here for the divine purpose of God. And when you leave this world, you graduate. You don't disintegrate, you graduate. You enter into the presence of God for him to say, well done. Good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. But as we said, many people did not recognize Jesus. They were saying, Hosanna, get us from under these Romans. Hosanna, get our land free again. Hosanna, just do something to make my life happier. Hosanna, save us, we pray. So they cried that. You got a lot of people praying today, God, help us. Well, what do you want? Are you saying that you want the fulfillment of God's purpose? And if you're saying, if I'm saying that I want the fulfillment of God's purpose, then I've got to look to God for leadership. Amen. It makes sense that he would come to the holy place called Jerusalem or Zion. That God would come to your Zion and to my Zion and to say, I want to set things in order. Your life is without order unless it has a king. You're not democratically ruled when it comes to God. You don't vote for him. He's the one that controls your next breath. And as David said in Psalms, he's the one that orders your footsteps. He's the one that not only makes life possible, but makes life abundant. Anybody want abundant life? Amen. Then you've got to look to a king. No one else can bring it. No one else can come in with everything that you need and more. So much so that your cup and my cup overflows with the goodness and the mercy of God. But they did not recognize him. Amen. They were saying, Hoshana, get us from under this thing that we're under. And they cried, they prayed, God, we just want out of this mess. And your life may not be the best. My life may not be the best. There are pains and things that we have to deal with on a daily basis. But let me tell you something. There are more important things in life rather than just for you to feel good. For you to just sit back and say, life is so good. He has come to fulfill us. He has come to do in our lives, in our Zion, what we could not ever do for ourselves. But unless you recognize him, unless you not only observe, but appreciate, you and I, we may not hang him on a cross, but at some point in our life, we'll just drive on, move on without him. Not knowing that life has no destiny without the one who points your destination. All right. It has no purpose without the one who says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I know you all are listening. You're saying, preacher, where are you going with this? I'm going to help you to identify him. Because obviously they didn't know him. They did not know that he was the King of glory. They did not recognize that the scriptures were filled with them. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, search the scripture. Amen. You're religious. You know your Torah. You know your history. Search the scriptures and find the ones that have life. And I guarantee you, they'll be the ones that testify of me. What's the scripture, preacher? Well, in Psalm 24, when they observed and they recognized Christ and they appreciated Christ, they said, he is the King of glory. Amen. Now, the question was, who was asking the question? I believe that the angelic host were asking this question. People on the earth were asking this question. Who is this King of glory? You know, they never shouted that on that day they were entering Jerusalem. But they could have. And perhaps they should have. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He's the one that met Joshua before he came into the land of promise. Joshua said, are you on our side or are you on their side? He said, I'm on neither side. I'm the captain of the Lord's hosts. He's the one that met Jacob when Jacob was coming back into his land and he was facing a problem with his brother coming with a great troop with him. He's the one, and Jacob looked up and said, I see the host of God. Who is this King of glory? Another verse says, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Well, not only is he the King of glory, he's also the King of life. People think that, well, life is this automatic thing. No, everything has to have rulership. It has to have order. And in order for us to be in this life, that's why you don't get up in the morning and you just take it for granted. Oh, another day. No, you've got a king that commanded the day. Listen, this is the day who made? The Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it and be glad. Now, Paul picks this up in an interesting way in Romans chapter 5. He said, by one man's offense, death came and reigned over everyone. You wonder why people leave this world? Well, you can look back at Adam. What did Adam do? Well, he was the one that caused death to reign because he disobeyed God. I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. Right. Later, I'll give you a scripture that tells you the payment for disobeying God. Amen. By one man's offense, death reigned over all. But look at what the verse says. One man's righteousness, or the gift of righteousness, came and he reigned in life. Who is he? Jesus. The same one that they're saying, Hosanna, just get us out of this mess. Do you see what's happening? You see, when people get in trouble, who do they call? Don't say Ghostbusters. They, Jesus, Hosanna, get me out of this mess. As soon as the crisis is over, then they say, okay, thank you, I appreciate it. Sometimes they don't even say thank you. But you don't bring in a king and then put out the king. That's not the way it works. You don't say, oh, you're king for the day. No, it doesn't work that way. This is the king of life. Try causing your heartbeat to come on its own. And you can get all the pacemakers in the world. But if God says stop, your heart will stop beating. Try getting your next breath without God, the giver of life. But I'm so glad that early this morning, God had mercy on you, had mercy on me. And as the old folks say, caused our golden moments to roll on just a little bit longer. Do I have any praises in the house today? If it had not been for the Lord, who was on our side, he's the king of life. He's the king of glory. And they were saying, a lot of people in the crowd were saying, who is this man? They were saying Jesus of Nazareth. But you know what we're saying today? He's our king. He's the one that rules. He's the one that reigns and shall reign forevermore. As we look to Jesus, not only is he the king of life in terms of our way of breathing and our blood flowing through our veins, but he's the king that delivered us from sin, which was causing us to die. Paul says later in Romans 6:23, the wages, how many of you work, got a job? You don't work because you just like to. You work because on Friday, you expect for something to happen. Been here all week and sweating and toiling, some of us maybe. Others may have been saying, I'll take a bathroom break every time I can get a chance. But on Friday, you look for something. It's called wages. Paul says the wages of sin is what? Death. But he doesn't stop there. Thank God he doesn't stop there. Ms. McNeil, that's a conjunction, right? But the gift of God. You and I were condemned because we'd worked for it. Some of us worked hard in sin. Overtime, right? Working a double shift, overtime in sin. But before the end of the week, Jesus Christ said, I'm going to change your payday. You're supposed to have death, but I'm going to give you life. Lord have mercy. Preach up in here, Coleman. You're supposed to die, but I am going to give you the grace of God. That's what it means, gift of God. You talk about God's grace. I'm going to give you everlasting life. I don't deserve it. My paycheck should have read one thing. You know what? Isn't it something when they get your pay messed up? You know, if you ain't paid what you think you ought to be paid, you go talk to personnel. I'm going to talk to personnel. We've got one of our new members. She works in personnel, and I imagine she takes a lot of flack from folk that think I should have gotten this. But Jesus, your Holy Ghost personnel, said, I'm going to change your paycheck. You ought to be getting death by now. Lord have mercy. You wonder why Reverend Coleman prays always excited about God. Because when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, Dexter, I have to praise him because I know I could have gotten my full pay. But instead, James, I got the Lord's pay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm mighty glad that he gave me his gift. Amen. Clap your hands if you believe it right there. Amen. Oh, but not only is he the king of glory and the king of life, but he's the king of peace. Yes. Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace. Yeah, what about it, preacher? Well, when Abraham saw him, he paid tithes to him. Paid tithes to him. Now, you don't just pay your tithes anywhere. As one person said, you don't buy your groceries at Food Lion and pay for them at Kroger. You don't just pay your tithe anywhere. You go to the place where you get the goods. Amen. And because Abraham didn't have a church home, Lord have mercy, preach up in it, Coleman. He was kind of going from place to place looking for a city and really a church home where he could call his own. He found this man called Melchizedek, and he said, you know what? You look righteous. You look like the Prince of Peace. Now, this man represented something. He represented that on down the line, there would come this everlasting king, the King of Salem. Or as they say in the Hebrew, the King of Shalom. Yeah, they say that to one another. They greet one another because they want peace. Amen. Anybody need peace in here? Yeah, you say there'll be peace in the valley one day. But I can tell you there's peace in the valley today because you've got a King of Peace. His name is Jesus, and he's the Lord of Lords. He's my peace. He's your peace. He's the everlasting peace, not just peace for a few moments, not just the peace that you can sign at some Armistead agreement, but the peace that lasts forever. Do you have him in your soul today? Yeah, Hebrews 7 talk about him as peace, but it also said he's righteous. He's righteous. He's the King of righteousness. Now, I'm meddling in your business now. You've got your what we call agenda. That's what we're going to do, right? We got our agenda. And what does God do? He comes and he disrupts our agenda. That's right. To let you know who's the king. Right. Either you do it his way or no way at all. But he is the King of righteousness. God has come to order your life because Lord knows you don't know what you're doing. You're either going to do what somebody else is doing or you're going to do what you think works. And neither one of them is good. When the Lord's way is always the best way, why do you think it says in Psalm 23, you claim him, you said, Lord, my shepherd. Well, read the whole thing. It said he leads me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake, he's the King of righteousness, but he's also the King of Zion. Listen, this king did not come to be as a rule like other earthly leaders. He came to rule in Zion, to rule us spiritually. You are not body, mind, and soul. You're first spirit. You're spirit. And you have a soul that lives in a body. See, you were made in the likeness of God. God is the what? He is a spirit. Do I have a witness here? And see, what they needed to recognize that this Jesus didn't come to take over Rome. No, he came to rule in the hearts of men. He came to Zion. Your Zion is your spirit and your soul. I wish you would listen to what's going down in your sanctified soul. Instead of saying, my mind told me, you need to recognize that he comes to give you his righteousness. And Jesus was the Word embodied. Amen. Now we can read what the Word says, and the Word comes to life in the person of Jesus Christ. Do I have a witness here? Amen. So he came to Zion because they were approaching the high feast day. He came to Zion. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. He was coming to the people that should have known him. And I'm coming to the close of my sermon, but they didn't know him. And I'm just wondering on this Palm Sunday morning, if Jesus was to walk down the aisle, would you know him? Down at the Spanish Grove Missionary Baptist Church in a little place called Scottsburg, Virginia, they would have the choir to sing, we shall know him, we shall know him. And redeemed by his side, we shall stand. We shall know him, we shall know him by the prince of the nails in his hands. I'm not trying to be in your business, but I just want to ask a question. Do you know him? Do you know him today? Well, if you know him, you got to act like you know him. If I knew some of the famous and rich people in this world, I would not be ashamed to tell you, I know Bill Gates. I would let you know that. Matter of fact, it doesn't have to be Bill Gates, just a little bit of money. I'll tell you that they're rich. Are y'all listening? But I know him. You know him. He's your Lord. He's our Lord. Not only do we know him as the King of righteousness, of Zion, but he's the King of your soul. How do you get to know him? Well, you got to talk about him, confess him. If you confess with your mouth, but that's not the only part. A lot of people can talk a good talk. Yeah, they make you think that violets are red and roses are blue. Y'all miss that. But if you shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, what we're asking you to do is to go beyond head knowledge. Connect with your heart. You believe in your heart that God raised. Why did God raise him from the dead? He raised him for you. He raised him for me. This confession. And then it's a commitment that you have to him. Remember what they were saying? God, save us. Well, here's how. Here's how. Not some other way. It's the only key. It's a master key. If thou shalt confess with your mouth, well, I don't like that way. Well, I'm sorry. There is no other name whereby we must be saved except through Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful Savior we have. Because when you make that confession, guess what God does? He saves us. And I'm going to tell you something. Saving is not only what you confess one time, but saving is every day. Because you don't know what he's saving you from. Amen. But thank God I'm saved. All right. So saving is continuous. It's what you do at one point in your life. You confess him, but it's continuous because God's still working this thing out. He's working this thing out. But then it's also something based in the future where God will completely deliver us. And because we've made that confession, when we see the King will see us. And we'll be united. I'm going to show you one other verse. I told you I was finished, didn't I? You know how preachers are. Notice this verse in Revelation. You say, preacher, is he King? Yes, he's King. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. What I love about that, look at what the verse is telling us. You have a relationship with him. They'll make war against the Lamb. They'll fight against the Lamb. But the Lamb will overcome them. Why? Because he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He could forget about us. But notice what the next verse, and those who are with him. Are you with him today? Those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Now, some of you have been called some bad names, right? You've been called everything but a child of God. But this verse says all you got to do is be with him. Raise your hand and say, I'm with him. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm with you. I'm with you, Lord. I'm with you. Through the valley, I'm with you. On the mountain, I'm with you. Through the low places, I'm with you. I'm with you, Lord, because you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. If you love him today, stand on your feet and give him praise because you only have one king. Only have one king. His name is Jesus. He will never be dethroned. Even though they crucified him, guess what he did? He rose again from the dead. You got a king. Look at somebody, tell them, you got a king. You got a king. You got a king. Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for sending the best you had. You could have sent an angel and we would have never known the difference. But you sent your only begotten Son.
Thank you, Lord.
And so now, Lord, I know the day is coming when we're all going to crown him, but I want to crown him in my heart. I want to crown him as King. I want to crown him above everything else. And Lord, to serve you as your devoted servant. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit so that we would not only observe, but Lord, we could also follow. We love you. And we praise you In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give the invitation, if there be one today, if you're without Christ, without hope in this world in which we live, we want to give you that opportunity now to receive him as your Lord and as your Savior. If you're not a part of a church family, you want to be a part of the Crossroad family, we certainly welcome you. If there's one today, if there's one. Amen. I want to get ready for our offering. We ask that you would prepare your hearts as we prepare to give. Let us honor our King with our gifts. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pause right now, Lord, just say thank you, Lord, for you.
Yes, Lord.
All your blessings, Lord, for your love and your mercy and your patience, Lord, that you have shown upon us, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you humbled yourself, Lord, and took on the form of man and came down,
yes, Lord,
and gave your life on Calvary's cross, Father, that we may have salvation,
yes, Lord,
and redemption and eternal life. So, Father, right now we come before you, Lord, just to honor you, Lord, in our giving. And Father, we ask you that you will bless the gift. Bless those that had to give.
Yes.
Yes.
Bless
Lord.
Those that had not to give.
Yes.
We pray for your wisdom, Father, that it may be used according to your plan,
yes,
for the upbuilding of your kingdom.
Yes.
This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to remind you that at about 10:45 this morning, we'll be having our presentation by our Sunday school, and it's going to be on the Passion of Christ, and so we invite you to be a part of that. The official title is, will they play?
Mission, our salvation.
Confession?
Jesus' mission.
Jesus' mission
our
is our salvation. Amen. That's all right. Amen. So we want to invite you to be a part of that. Also, we want to continue to pray for Charlene Preston and her family and the loss of her mother. We were able to be a part of the worship service and the homegoing celebration. And she thanks the church. Thank you for being there for us during this difficult time, for your prayers, calls, support, and my mom's funeral service. We really appreciate your generosity, kindness, and encouragement during our grief time. With sincere thanks, Charlene Preston and family. Her sister's with us today, so good to see her. Amen. So thankful to the Lord for that. Amen. And next Sunday is not only Easter Sunday, but it's also our Friends Day. So we want to ask that you would invite a friend, have them come out and be a part of our services here at Crossroad. We'd be love to have them. We'll have our worship service, and then we have our fellowship meal where we can just enjoy the company of each other. So please invite your friends to come out and be a part of our Easter celebration. We're going to get ready now for our communion. Jesus said, remember me. Remember me. And we celebrate this communion for that very reason, because we do remember what he's done. What no one else could do, Christ has done for us. Does it mean we're perfect? No, we're not perfect. God's still working with us, though.
We thank him for that. We're going to ask Deacon Rod to lead us in prayer.